Tomorrow is a Memorial Day, and today is a Memorial Day. Tomorrow is a Memorial Day designated by the calendar. Today is a Memorial Day designated by the Bible. It is appropriate that we think about the idea of a memorial. The definition of a memorial is something done to remember a specific person or a specific event. A memorial. The Bible has a lot to say about memorials, and you and I talk about memorials in different ways. If we were to just think about the service today, we would, in a sense, have emphasized a memorial in different ways. Mike just read where Jesus said, "This do in remembrance." That's a memorial. And probably when the prayers are led at the Lord's table this morning, there will be something said that will indicate the idea of a memorial. We're doing this in remembrance of Him. And in fact, in the prayer that was led at the first of the service today, there was something said about looking back to Jesus and looking forward to His coming, an indication of a memorial. Our songs that have been chosen this morning emphasize the idea of a memorial, and particularly the song that shall be sung later, just before we observe the Lord's Supper, will emphasize that we do that in memory, keeping Him in memory. A memorial. Some of you may have been in Washington, D.C. recently. If you were, no doubt you went by the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Monument, the Lincoln Monument. Those are memorials to those men to pay tribute to them for what they have done for this country. There are places now where we can go to a certain memorial and see the names of all those, for example, who died in the Vietnam War. Lord willing, along about Tuesday of next week, I hope to see some of the memorials that are near Pearl Harbor. Memorials that have been set up to remember those men and women who gave their lives in service to our country, who died, that you and I might have the opportunity to come in this building this morning in a circumstance of peace and be able to worship God as we believe the Bible teaches us to worship Him. Those memorials are appropriate. Many of us tomorrow, maybe today, we'll visit the grave of a loved one or friend. We may even take a wreath of flowers or in some way pay tribute to that person who has passed on. And in most instances, there will be some kind of a memorial stone at the head of the grave, mentioning the name of the person who is there, the time of life that was lived, and there may even be an indication on that stone of the type of life that was lived or how that person served the community in a specific way. If you were to walk across the street over to Fried Hardeman University and begin to look at the buildings and go through the buildings, you would be looking at many memorials. Most of the buildings on campus are named after people who have lived in a special service to God and to young people and who have contributed money and otherwise to the teaching of young people. And so there are memorials that are set up. If you go into the auditorium, for example, you may see some plaques on the wall where names are given of people who have done certain things for the university, and these are set there as memorials. If you read the catalog and look in the area where it has to do with financial assistance, you'll see a list of scholarships, and in many of those, the word memorial will be included. meaning that these scholarships have been set up as memorials to these people. And when a scholarship is awarded to a deserving young person today, usually it's awarded by giving credit to and remembering the person or persons who have done something to make it possible for this to be done. Even as we look around our building, we have plaques like the one over to the left that indicates that certain people who have lived here in the past have made certain contributions, financially and otherwise, to make it possible for us to have the facilities that we have. And I think when our new building's completed, that we very probably will have a way of paying respect to those in whose memory something is given to make that building possible. And by the way, I think that's a wonderful way for us to be involved in helping to do more in the Lord's work. These are memorials that are set up. And the Bible talks about ideas like this. In Genesis 35, when Rachel died, the Bible says that Jacob set up a pillar at her grave. And then the statement is made that that pillar is there until this day, evidently when the book of Genesis was written. There was some way that people knew where Rachel had been buried. Rachel was the beloved wife of Jacob. I don't know exactly what he put on that stone or what was put there, but there was something there that paid tribute to Rachel, even to the extent that it could be remembered at the time the book was being written. A memorial pillar was set up. Four chapters earlier in Genesis 31, when Laban and Jacob finally worked out their major differences and went their certain ways, or separate ways, the Bible says that they took stones and they made a heap of stones, and Jacob at least called the place Galeed, and they set up those stones as a memorial of the agreement that they had made. In Joshua 4, when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River over into the land of Canaan, Joshua instructed them to go back in and bring some stones out of the river and to set up some stones there as a memorial to their crossing. And in 1 Samuel 7, verse 12, Samuel did what you and I sing about. He understood it. Sometimes, I don't know whether we do or not, he raised his Ebenezer, a stone of help, to be a memorial to how God had blessed them in the events that had just taken place. They set up a memorial. Now, these are memorials that have to do with physical blessings. And I'm sure that if you and I took the time today to make a list of all the people to whom we owe something for what we have today and where we are and what we are, the list would be longer than we would even dare guess. I would imagine that there is not a person in the audience this morning who's very old at least, but who is aware of somebody in his family, maybe a generation or so ago, who gave his life that we might have peace in this nation. And there are many of us who can think of those in our families a generation or so ago who literally sacrificed to make it possible for us to be where we are today. And it is certainly appropriate that we have a memorial day and that we pay respect to the memories of those who have gone on and who've done so much for us. But as I said a few minutes ago, today is a memorial day. Tomorrow is the memorial day on our calendar, but today is one of the 52 memorial days that's on our calendar, designated not by the calendar, but by the Bible to be a special day. And we need to think about the memorial to Christ. I would suggest to you that Christ set up his own way of having a memorial or memorials. That could happen with individuals. There are those, for example, who will request before they die or in their wills that a certain amount be set aside as one of those memorial scholarships that we mentioned a moment ago. Or someone might make some comments that would indicate how he would like to be remembered and in that sense designate his type of memorial. But Christ really did. Christ really did tell us how he wanted to be remembered and what the memorials are to him. suggest to you this morning that there are four ways in which today is a Memorial Day, and maybe branching out a little bit from today, how there are memorials in our lives that pay respect to the life of Christ. One is, I believe, there is truly a Memorial Day each week. You are aware that under the old law, one of the Ten Commandments set up the Sabbath day to be remembered. God gave a commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In a sense, he said, you make the Sabbath day a memorial day. And those who were under that law understood exactly what he meant. And if they didn't, they found out exactly what he meant. He meant for that day to be respected. We're not under the old law today. We do not keep the Sabbath day in the sense that the Jewish people did at that time. But there is the indication that there is a special day in the sight of God. When Jesus was resurrected from the grave, as recorded in the last few chapters of the four accounts of the gospel, the Bible says that he came forth on the first day of the week. When the different people went to his grave and found that he was not there, it was the first day of the week when it was said, he is risen. Jesus came forth on the first day of the week. When he assembled with his apostles, save Thomas being present, it was the first day of the week. And then when he assembled 8 days later, which seems to indicate again the first day of the week, counting all of the 8 days involved, when Thomas was present and was convinced that this was the Lord and made that famous statement, my Lord and my God, it was the first day of the week. When the disciples came together at Troas to break bread and Paul preached to them, it was the first day of the week. And the context shows that even though Paul was in a hurry to get somewhere else, he tarried there to be with them on the first day of the week. It had some special significance. And when Paul gave order to the churches in Corinth, or the church at Corinth, and indicated he'd given the same order to the churches of Galatia concerning land, buy, and store, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, it was the first day of the week. And there is a designation made in Revelation 1, 10 that says that John was on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's day. The Lord's day. There's something about the first day of the week that is special. And when we note what is said there in Revelation 1:10 and recognize that the Bible calls it the Lord's day, I believe we're within the boundaries of Scripture to say that there is some designation of a memorial day. That doesn't mean that we don't worship God the other 6 days, nor live for him. It doesn't mean that we should not have assemblies in any other time, or enjoy coming together to worship God at any other time. It simply means that there is one special day of the week about which there is something special said, and the designation is given to it that it's the Lord's day. And so I suggest to you that Christ set up a memorial day. And certainly he set up a memorial supper, so described in our reading this morning from Luke 22 and described a little bit more in detail as Paul refers back to the occasion as he's writing to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 11. Jesus said, I want you to take this bread and let it represent my body, and I want you to eat of it in remembrance of me. And I want you to take this fruit of the vine that's going to remind you of my blood, and I want you to do it as a memorial. I want you to do it in memory, in remembrance of me. And so when we surround the Lord's table on the first day of the week, because that is the designated time that is given in God's word, and when we assemble around the Lord's table every first day of the week, that again emphasizes the importance of the day, and it emphasizes the importance of the supper. This is a memorial to Jesus Christ. And although you and I should gain something from it, and perhaps find spiritual strength in being able to remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ, one of the main purposes of the Lord's Supper is to be a memorial to Jesus. He says, when you do this, you will remember me and you'll remember the promise that I've made about returning again. It is to be a memorial to Jesus Christ. In fact, I suggest to you that our entire worship service, in a sense, is in memory of Christ. We are here this morning for what we will get out of being here, I'm sure. And if we worship as we should, each one of us ought to leave strengthened and better for having been here. But that's not the main purpose of our coming together. We sometimes say that God is the audience, and there is a sense in which He is, and we're all worshiping Him. We're all paying tribute to Him, and we're all remembering Christ as we worship together this morning. When Gary leads the singing, he is leading. When I'm leading our discussion, I am leading. But really, we are all worshiping God. And in doing that, especially with the Lord's Supper, we are observing the memorial that Jesus has set up Himself. And that further makes this day a memorial day. But in the third sense, don't you think that when we're baptized into Christ, that we are also involved in a sense in a memorial? We're obeying a commandment, I understand that. And when we're scripturally baptized, it puts us into Christ and it puts us into the body of Christ. It's for the remission of sins. It washes away our sins and it saves us. All the scripture teaches us all of those. But think about the setting when we're baptized, especially concentrating on Romans 6 and Colossians 2. Romans 6 says, when we're buried with Him in baptism, we're buried into His death. And the 17th verse of that chapter says that what we're doing is obeying the form of doctrine, which is discussed earlier in that chapter and discussed again in a factual sense in 1 Corinthians 15 as the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And he says, when you and I submit ourselves in obedience in the act of baptism as penitent believers, we're baptized into His death. And you've heard this said many a time. There is a sense in which we go back and live with Christ there on the cross and die with Him on the cross. And let that blood that He shed on the cross cleanse us from our sins as we're baptized, not to put away the filth of the flesh, but to answer that good conscience, 1 Peter 3:21, which His blood purges from dead works, Hebrews 9:14. And in that sense, every time a person is baptized into Christ, he is doing it in memory of what Christ did to make that baptism meaningful. Because you see, just to take somebody and lower them underwater and bring them back up doesn't mean a thing unless we connect it in the conscience and in the memory with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so when we submit ourselves in scriptural baptism and becoming Christians, at the same time that we are obeying God and getting rid of our sins, we are also saying to the world, the blood of Jesus Christ made this possible and makes this possible. And I am remembering what He did on the cross, and how He shed His blood, and how He was resurrected from that grave to prove that He was the Son of God. And I submit to you because of that, that even our obedience is a memorial to Christ. And then, there is a sense in which Christian living is a memorial to Christ. I enjoy watching baseball, football, anything that has a ball to it, really. Now, I've noticed in the last year or so, and many of you have too, there have been occasions where an entire team would have a certain number on the shoulder. And as you listen to the announcer, he probably will explain that there was a player who died, and now this team is playing every game this year in memory of that dead comrade. And they wear that number there on the shoulder for an entire year. There have been instances where it was a black band, and the entire team would put a black band around the arm for a certain reason. It was done as a memorial. It was done in memory. And that's done on a regular basis. And sometimes even in talking about people, we will say that a certain person is the image of his father or of her mother. About 2 weeks ago, Tony Wakefield walked in with his mother and sat over here to the right. Tony is the son of Howard Wakefield, who married Judy and me. Howard is dead now, but when I looked at that seat over there, I saw Howard Wakefield. Tony is, and I don't know where we got this expression, the spitting image of his dad. And as you and I sometimes say, as long as he's alive, his dad will not be dead because he is the image. What does Galatians 3:27 say when we become Christians? As many of us as were baptized into Christ, put on Christ. And we wear him. He lives in us and we live in him. Both statements made in Galatians 2:20. The life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And when we become Christians, we go out to be like those that are mentioned in Bible times. It said they saw them and they knew they had been with Jesus because they could see Jesus in them. And I submit to you that this may be the greatest memorial that we can pay to Christ. As great as the Lord's Supper is that we observe on the Lord's Day, it may be greater to let Jesus be seen in our lives 7 days a week and live, be a living memorial to Jesus. There is a memorial day, the first day of the week, 52 times a year, 53 on occasions. There is a memorial supper that reminds us of his death, his body, his blood. There is an act of obedience as we become Christians that in a sense helps us to remember what God has done for us and what the blood of Christ is doing for us. And there is Christian living each day where we memorialize in our lives the kind of life that Jesus lived and show the world what he is and what he means to the world. That's the kind of memorial that we give to our Lord. A memorial day, a memorial supper, a memorial act, and a memorial life. What a sad thing it is to go to a cemetery and see a grave without a marker. That person is forgotten. What a sad thing it is to have someone contribute so much to a cause and never take the time to remember that person. But neither of those is as sad as to think that there may be even some of us here this morning who have never done anything to pay respect to the memory of Christ. You have not submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ, or you are not living for him, you're not observing his supper. And because you're not a Christian, even though you're present, you're not able to really completely worship in his memory. What a terrible thing for an unmarked grave, but what is more terrible is to have a Christ that is not remembered. I'm thankful that tomorrow is Memorial Day, and I'm thankful that we can remember so many who've done so much for us physically. But I'm even more thankful that today is a memorial day and that we can remember our Lord who's done so much for us spiritually. And if you are not practicing those memorials to him, you need to come to him as together we stand and sing.
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.